This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham filling in for Landry Locker alongside with the OG John Lopez. So here's why I think that the Texans got the better end of the quote-unquote trade between Bradley Roby and Kareem Jackson. The Texans needed a cornerback. Bradley Roby is a better cornerback than Kareem Jackson. Jackson, since then, has been moved to safety Denver. Yeah, he's Kareem Jackson playing safety in Denver.
Also, no, I'm saying, is he a better cornerback than Kareem Jackson?
Oh, I think
for
so.
Sure.
Yeah?
Bradley Roby.
Why don't you think
corner.
He is?
I think Kareem has been very underrated because he was moved around so much last year. He played slot, corner.
He did.
He played safety, and he generally, I mean, he wasn't toast, that's for sure.
No, he can definitely play the cornerback position well, but when you compare the two, Bradley Roby is a better
corner. More of a pure.
Corner. He's a pure corner. I'm going to run around the field with whoever your fastest, best receiver is, and I'm going to be in his hip pocket. Mm-hmm. Bradley Roby has that ability.
The Texans' safeties are good, too. I mean, Justin Reed, Tayshawn Gibson, Jahlil Adai, we're not complaining about the safeties. So you've upgraded at corner with Roby over Kareem Jackson. Your safety position is fine. That's why I think that Bradley Roby is kind of the winner of that little fake, quote-unquote, trade between Roby and Kareem Jackson. He's also cheaper. I mean, you got him on a much cheaper deal. You got him on a short-term deal. Now you might have to pay him this offseason, which can be a little bit more of a hassle depending on the market for Bradley Roby. One guy that agrees with both of you and disagrees with me is two-time champion Big Alfred Williams. We had him on with Clint Sterner earlier this week. He says the Texans were crazy for letting Kareem Jackson go.
I doubt if there are four better safeties in all of football right now that are playing a better brand of football than Kareem Jackson. I don't know what Houston saw or didn't see in him, but that dude is a straight baller. And trust me, in the land of great safeties that we've had around here, all the way from Billy Thompson to Steve Atwater, Dennis Smith, John Lynch, but this guy profiles like Brian Dawkins. This guy profiles like all the great safeties that have ever played here. He's unafraid. He sticks his head in there. I mean, I just love the guy. I watch him. And I just say, man, I wish I could play with that dude because he plays with the kind of fire and energy that it takes to play this game. And it's just fun to see him. There's no way in the world that Houston got that one right.
Well, that's high praise. Top five safety in the entire NFL. Houston, no way that they got it right, even though I think they upgraded a corner and their safety position is a position of strength.
I'll tell you what, when the deal first happened and Kareem signed with the Denver Broncos, I felt exactly the way Big Al is talking about right here now. I thought that the Texans had got it wrong. They made a mistake and that Tayshawn Gibson was not going to be able to replace him at the safety position and whoever they got at corner. You should have had K-Jack on this team, but as time has passed, and although Kareem is still doing what I thought he would do out there in Denver, what the Texans have gotten back with Gibson and Roby and bringing in Hargraves and Connolly, what they've done at the position is upgraded, and they have done it at a more reasonable price. You lost Ty Matthew and you lost Kareem, but you ended up upgrading the position overall. So you got to give credit where credit is due, and I think the Texans made the right moves by letting Kareem go. But, hey, that's some high praise from a legitimate
What I was going to say. I'm not going to pretend that I've broken down tape on Kareem Jackson's 2019 season. I've seen some games. I've watched him. I appreciate him, and I've watched him more than your average Bronco defender because he played here. But I'm not going to say, oh yeah, he's right, or oh no, he's wrong. I do trust him though. You know, that dude played, and he knows what he's doing, and he sees them a lot more than I do. I think it's fine. I always say this: if a trade doesn't hurt, then it probably wasn't a good trade.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that. You know, it hurts to trade a good player, but if you get what you want in return, it hurt them. You know, if a trade doesn't hurt, it wasn't a good trade. It hurts the Texans not to have Kareem, but they did just fine. You know, that's fine. You got good safeties. You got the corner you want.
Win-win. Win-win is a good way to describe it. OG, John Lopez, Jeremy Branham, Wade Smith in for Landry Locker. Well, the Rockets got the response that they needed last night in Toronto. They had all the drama earlier in the week, the blown dunk by Harden. Well, the referee's blown dunk of Harden's dunk. But more importantly, blowing a 22-point lead against San Antonio, blowing a 9-point lead with 2.5 minutes left to play. I was really worried that this was going to kind of spiral out of control. Rockets did file their protest yesterday, by the way, but they went up to Toronto and they beat a good Raptors team. Like, I understand Kawhi Leonard's no longer there and his humor is no longer there, but that Raptors team 15-5 going into that game last night. They're a good home team. It's tough to go into Canada and beat Toronto, and the Rockets did that. They won by 10. They cruised a victory, but it was the way that they did it that encouraged me. One, putting this all behind them, all this protest stuff behind them. But the two, winning a game in which James Harden only took 11 shots.
Yeah, and what do you have, 6 points in the first half? Yep. Something like that. I don't think this was a real complicated game in terms of why they won. I mean, they knocked down shots with role players. I mean, they you know, the guys off the bench, I think Daniel House. Yep. I saw, you know, 10 out of 19 from three-point range, three of their bench players. You go 10 out of 19 from three-point range, you're probably going off the bench, you're probably going to win that game. So it was a simple concept. It went in.
Yeah, and I liked what I saw out of Clint Capella on the defensive end. He was doing a good job of D'ing people up on the ball and off the ball, guarding the net. I thought towards the end of the ball game, Westbrook did a good job of having being the guy with the ball in his hands, penetrating and getting to the basket and distributing or finishing. In the middle of the game, though, he still was struggling with that mid-range jumper, and his three-point shot was still off. But anytime that you can use your role players to get you a win on the road like that, to me, that bodes well of what you're going to do going forward for the season. You want to get those guys as confident as possible, especially on the road. So that was a good win for the Houston Rockets.
I found those numbers. McLemore, Tucker, and Daniel House were 41 of 63. And they scored 41 of 63 first half points and were 14 of 25 from the field, 10 of 19 from three-point range. That's the recipe right there.
McLemore hit 8 three-pointers by himself, a career high for him. He started yesterday's game with Daniel House coming off the bench. D'Antoni looking for a little bit more spark off the bench with Eric Gordon being out. I read more into that game than you guys did. The reason why was how Nick Nurse and the Raptors were defending Harden. They were hedging the screens hard. They were double-teaming
Harden.
The ball out of his hands, and they won a game in which Harden wasn't James Harden, wasn't leading the league in NBA scoring like he currently does. So I found it encouraging that the Rockets, they found a way to be offensive, nearly 120 points, in a game where the other coach and the other team was forcing the ball out of Harden's hands. I thought that was a great sign going forward, despite Russell Westbrook, again, being off with the shot.
Yeah, and you have to do that. James Harden has to be able to facilitate to the other guys when teams are going to decide to take him away, when they're going to double him early in the shot clock, when they're going to force somebody out to beat him. You have to be one of those other guys to say, hey, you're going to leave me wide open. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to make you pay. It's almost like in football where you say, if you give me a one-on-one matchup, I'm going to win it. If I don't win a one-on-one matchup, then I don't belong. Well, if you're going to give me open shots, I'm going to hit them. Basketball players, NBA basketball players take open threes like people take free throws in their garage, in their backyard. Like that, they should be able to hit those shots. And so by them doubling James Harden early in the shot clock, like that, you're getting an opportunity to swing the ball around and get somebody open.
Look, they got to put it down and finish. What you just said is the absolute key. When you play isolation, high screen and roll or whatever it is, the ball stops. It's iso ball. I mean, that by definition, that's what they call it. When you're getting the ball out of James Harden's hands and he's being double-teamed, the ball automatically has to move more because nobody else is going to be iso.
Yeah.
You know, and so the ball's moving more. They had, I don't know what their total assist number were, but I know they had 13 in the second half.
29 in the game.
Yeah, they had 13 in the second half down the stretch when Harden was not really, you know, getting the isos. The ball moves better. And so we were talking about this yesterday, how he's great. It's awesome. We love him. But it's just kind of boring to watch. That wasn't so boring to watch because they're moving the ball. They're snapping into their offense a little bit, and Harden's not getting his, but they're scoring.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook with 8 turnovers, something that they needed limited as well. John Lopez, the OG, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham in for Landry Locker. Sports Illustrated, they did something kind of funny last night. Mm-hmm. They grabbed J.J. Watt's past tweets that all have to do with food takes. J.J. Watt likes to talk about food on social media, on
God
Hard
bless
Knocks,
him for that.
Just about everywhere, kind of like us. I mean, who doesn't like food? We all love food a little bit too much, we would all say. So let's get to some of these J.J. Watt hot food takes and see if we agree with them, if we don't agree with them. Let's see if J.J. knows what he's talking about. Here's his first one. He had a conversation with Vince Wilfork back in the Hard Knocks days. And Hard Knocks got he and Vince talking about brunch. Do we agree with J.J. on this take?
Breakfast is the best. Brunch? Brunch is my favorite meal of all time. Brunch is the greatest thing in the world.
I can pass on it. Like, dinner is whatever.
Yeah. Dinner is, yeah. But brunch? Breakfast and brunch, you don't mess around with breakfast. I can eat breakfast 3 meals a day. No problem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My wife, Bianca, she makes a, it's like a croissant bread, and inside of it, it's, you can put whatever, bacon, you can put eggs, you can put sausage, you can put ham inside of it and bake it.
So here's what you're going to tell Bianca. Next off day, I'm coming. That's what I want.
So good. And you slice it like bread.
Come on.
Do you agree with what J.J. Watt had to say?
Hey, first of all, why is Vince Wilfork not selling or being the brand ambassador for like Waffle House or IHOP? When you were listening to him describe,
well, he
that
does killings.
Didn't that sound good to you?
Yeah.
Like, Kuna's like, man, he makes this croissant bread. I'm like, damn, I'm starting to get hungry. But yeah, man, I agree with him. Breakfast and brunch, to me, I could eat breakfast every day. I could eat breakfast every meal every day. Like, that is the best meal. When we do breakfast for dinner, and as a family, my daughters all get excited. Oh, we have breakfast for dinner. That is always a good time. And then when we were in school, remember when you had breakfast for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Those were the best things, where you got you some pancakes and or some waffles, and you get you some sausage and some eggs, man. It's nothing like it. So I definitely agree.
I love brunch. I'm don't get me wrong. I don't totally agree, because I started thinking about this. I gave it a lot of thought, boys. The best meal of the day, and it doesn't happen every day, but the best meal I look forward to is when you go out. Maybe you went to with some friends to their house, to a party, house party, or to a wedding, or out with friends. That late night, you're a little tipsy. You know, you go into the refrigerator. There's leftovers from a really good meal. That late night, really like 2 a.m. gorge fest. That is an awesome meal every time you do it.
I'm a big fan of the 2 a.m. meal, but the 2 a.m. meal is always at Waffle House or somewhere,
or Whataburger. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm definitely a fan of that, especially when you got a little alcohol in your system.
Yeah, man.
And then you got that.
You're tired.
Some breakfast tacos or breakfast taquitos from mm-hmm. Whataburger at 2:30 in the morning. There's nothing like it. So you're right. That is a hell of a meal.
That's
for sure.
A hell of a meal.
I think J.J. Watt called Vince Wilfork's wife the wrong name. B-Mac, listen back to that whenever you can. I think because Vince says my wife, Bianca, and I think that J.J., when he invited himself over, calls Vince's wife a different name. We'll report back on that. I disagree with Vince Wilfork, though. Dinner is the best. Like, all's well that ends well. And dinner is what caps off your days of eating. Like, mm-hmm. I look forward to dinner more than any other. Now, if it's breakfast for dinner, that's fine. I love breakfast food. Mm-hmm. But you have to have a strong dinner to cap off your day. That's my feeling on it. What else did J.J. Watt
Let's go through
say?
Some of his. They went through all his tweets. This was a great little story by SI. This is J.J. tweeting, churros or churros, depending on how you want to and who you're talking to, should be more common. I think he's got the wrong Mexican sweet bread.
I'm not a fan
what
of churros.
What are you, a pan dulce guy?
Pan dulce, man. Pan dulce? Like an empanada, yeah, or something like that.
I like an empanada. Churros are good. I feel like they should be more of
Aren't
a thing.
Aren't they for kids?
No, I mean, it's good for everybody. You like ice cream, don't you? Ice cream's kind of more true. For kids.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. When it comes to Mexican food and food from that region of the world,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of the sweets.
Of their sweet bread?
I'm a fan of everything
else.
Yeah,
that's their breads.
But I'm not a big fan
downfall.
Of like all of the, really? You know, oh. the sweets. The
I
Mexican
can go
sweets.
To a panaderia, yeah, every day and I'd weigh 400 pounds. I love them.
I think I'm on some video on this one. Like, give me the fajitas, give me the enchiladas,
give
me
the
everything.
Food.
Yeah,
everything.
I'm
like literally everything else.
Everything
yeah,
else.
The chips and salsa.
Tequila, all that stuff.
I'll take the pre-dinner more than yeah, the post-dinner.
All right? That. But the sweets, I'm not in.
The next from J.J. Watt. Melon, honeydew, and cantaloupe are filler fruits on a fruit plate.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Absolutely right.
No, that's untrue. The honeydew? Right, honeydew is lit.
I love honeydew.
Cantaloupe?
Really?
Yes.
Give me the watermelon. Get all that stuff out of here. Give me watermelon.
Smitty,
I'm
with you 100%.
You appreciate
I'm with you 100%, but here's the thing. People are either melon people or not. It's kind
of
like you are or you're not.
I'm a fan
I'm a huge fan of melon. Watermelon, honeydew melon. Why are you a fan of melons, I wonder? But anyway.
I just am.
Cantaloupe.
I just am.
Well, what about the loopholes, too? 713-572-4610. Let us know, loopholes. Where are we getting it wrong? Where is J.J. Watt getting it wrong? Where does watermelon fall in the melon, honeydew, cantaloupe category?
I like honeydew best. A good honeydew is the best. And then I got cantaloupe and watermelon probably tied.
Man, watermelon's by far
I would say
favorite.
Watermelon, then honeydew, then cantaloupe.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's another one. J.J. Watt. I'll just do the top five. Top five cereals. Crunch Berries, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Frosted Flakes, Lucky Charms, Honey Bunches of Oats. If you don't have Fruit Loops in your top five, you're doing it wrong. I like most of his.
That's a terrible list. That's a terrible list.
That was a bad list.
Fruit Loops for me is...
But is it Fruit Loops or Fruity Pebbles?
Fruity Pebbles.
No, I'm a bigger fan of Fruity Pebbles
and that's,
than Fruit Loops.
That's kind of like melon or not melon. I'm a Fruit Loops guy.
Okay. I like Cocoa Pebbles when I was a kid. I haven't had Cocoa Pebbles in probably a decade, but Cocoa Pebbles was by far my favorite cereal.
And I have a cereal that I know I like that most people don't, but I could eat it every day, and that's Honeycomb.
Honeycomb, that's lit.
I love honeycomb.
Yes, and I haven't had it in a while.
I know.
I go through stages where I'm gonna knock off honeycombs every morning for about a month. Mm-hmm. Honeycombs is up there. Honey Nut Cheerios. That's the cereals I eat to where I feel good about myself after I'm done.
I don't know anybody that doesn't like that.
Yeah, but Cocoa Pebbles, Fruity Pebbles, and Cocoa Crisps. All of those are good.
713-572-4610. I have a real problem with one fruit.
What's that?
I'll let you know. I have a real problem with one fruit, and maybe you have some problems.
I have problems with a lot of different
Lot of different foods.
We're going to get to that.
A lot of different
things. There's a fruit.
I want to go back to that.
That actually might be true in this case.
Let's go back to that JJ with Vince Wilfork. He did get Vince's wife's name wrong, by the way.
I could eat breakfast three meals a day. No problem.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife, Bianca, she makes a, it's like a croissant bread. And inside of it, you can put whatever, bacon, you can put eggs, you can put sausage, you can put ham inside of it and bake it.
So here's what you're going to tell Bianca next off
what?
Day.
What did he say?
I'm coming.
I don't know what he said.
He said Bianca.
But
he said the same name.
All right, you got it.
So here's what you're going to tell Bianca.
He just didn't quite say it like Vince Wilfork said.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. OG John Lopez.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.